The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We are in the studio today with a couple of guests, and we're going to be talking about an event coming up at the end of this week, and we're going to be talking about the organization putting it on. We have Dr. Nancy Macchiarella. Did I get that right?
You did.
And Brent Wehner. They're two of the 12 trustees on the Huron County Community Foundation Board, and they've got their Bidders Bash live and silent auction coming up later this week. So welcome to the program. This is a major fundraiser for the administration of the foundation, as I understand it.
It is. We have two major fundraisers each year for operating funds. This is one of them, and our golf tournament that we have in May is the other. So we definitely rely on this to help keep the foundation going from an operational perspective.
And that's the perspective, is the operation of it. None of this is really going into any of the foundation accounts. Its sole purpose is to not have to charge a fee to the accounts in order to do the audits and all the other things that have to get done through the year.
Yeah, that is correct.
Well, terrific. Do people sometimes not realize just how much that really costs? I mean, audits aren't cheap to begin with. There's paperwork. I'm sure you have taxes that have to be done at the end of the year. Government likes to know where everything is and who's got it and all that good stuff. So I imagine there's a lot of fees people don't think about involved with this.
Well, I think that's true. And I think the other thing is that people, you know, they never want to necessarily donate money to operational costs, administrative costs. They want to see it go back out to the community. So by us doing these two fundraisers and not having to take funds out of some of our funds we've created, it really helps us from an operational perspective.
Now, the golf is kind of clear cut. It's you play golf and you pay a fee, and the fees all go to help the work here. But the Bidders Bash and Live Silent Auction, you rely on people donating things to bid on.
Right. Now, the Bidders Bash started about 4 years ago, and we bring in a personality. He is an auctioneer as well as a DJ, and with their two personalities that kind of combine and in synergy, they do a very good job with auctioning these items off. And we have several different items on auction this year, as well as several different silent auction tables that people can also look around and put bids on.
So there's actually two auctions going on at the same time. You've got the regular type of auction,
right,
and then you've got the silent auction where usually they're out for a certain period, and then you see who's the top bidder, and you need to bring out a new round of stuff for people to bid on because you want to keep them coming back.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Now, you are counting on people turning out for this. Do you need tickets? Do you get them at the door? How do you become involved at the end of this process?
Well, all the trustees, as well as some local businesses, do have tickets. Preferably, we like to know fairly soon so we can get head count. It is held at the Franklin Inn starting at 5:45 to 6 o'clock. So the sooner we know, people who want to attend, the better we can be prepared to make sure everybody has all the necessities they need for that evening to have an enjoyable time.
So you can tell them, you got to open this wall, we need more space here, the room needs to be bigger, we can't crowd them in.
Exactly. We want everybody comfortable and having a great time. That's what it's all about.
And does this ticket price include any refreshments, any food? How does that work? You're going to the Franklin, and that's where people get the idea that there's going to be something good going on here.
Right. Yeah, it does include one drink, and then hors d'oeuvres are set all evening.
Oh, you got all the hors d'oeuvres, as they call
you
them.
You got it.
In French or whatever. And this is coming up when?
This Friday.
This Friday. Starts at?
6 o'clock, 5:45. Sooner you come in, the earlier you can browse and look at the items that we have and get your bidding number and, take a look around and start writing down things you might want.
And are there things people need to bring to get a bidding number? Do you have to have a line of credit from your bank? Do you have to have a credit card? I mean, there are some places that, they want to make sure that if you bid on something that, it's going to stick.
Well, we're pretty trustworthy. Your ticket serves as your bidding number, and then we do take cash, checks, or credit cards to pay for any items that you bid on. So,
But it's day of the auction. You need to bring a checkbook. You need to either bring the cash or whatever to do this so you can take home what it is you bid on, because obviously if they take it home and they haven't paid for it yet, you don't have a whole lot to go back with.
That's exactly right.
And that just seems right anyway. But do you have things that are going to go really high that people need to be aware of? I mean, it looked like you had some pretty pretty nice electronic items and a really nice quilt and other things going on that sound like they, if people want them, that could go up pretty darn quick.
Yeah, like you said, we do have iPods. Typically high priced items also are carrot cakes. We have a couple carrot cakes. And then also jewelry goes well. I think we have a couple.
What is a carrot cake? Is that more like a loss leader, or is it where you can get a good bargain, or are they things that really, really go?
Well, we have one member of the community who makes an amazing carrot cake. So she is donating her time to make a couple carrot cakes. And I think last year.
So it's actual food you're talking about here.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's worth every penny.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, I get surprised. You know, I've gone to some other, like the Youth for Christ auction and that, and the food that they have there is like, wow, the pastries and such.
Yeah.
So a lot of this stuff is people's specialties that they become famous for in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
And this year we also, for the first time in our 4 years, we have a handmade quilt too. So hoping that it gets well received and people take an interest in that.
And this will all be on display beforehand. You can take a look, see the craftsmanship and all the hours of work that go into something like that. You know, sometimes people don't realize just how much work goes into that.
Yes, it'll all be on display.
And I think an amazing thing about the quilt this year, it was made by four ladies in Port Austin, one of whom is Martha Thummel. And she is the reason the foundation started. She was one that gave the first donation to get our foundation started. So kind of a nice correlation that she's helped with this quilt, and she'll be there on Friday night as well. So we're kind of excited about that.
Terrific. You've got other things I see here on the list here. You've got sports, travel, all kinds of things happening going on. So something for everybody, basically.
Yes, and that's how we like to gear it. There's always something and surprises and lots of fun and entertainment.
Is there like a sheet that tells you the order of the auction so you don't go to the bathroom when the thing you want comes up and you're like, where'd it go?
Well, that's kind of my job. I make sure everybody kind of knows what's going on for the evening. And, you know, we try to make it nice and organized. You know, there's always glitches along the way, but certainly we try to make sure everybody knows what's going on that day, that night. And so it's nice and clear and pretty easy to understand.
And how long does it last? Because I imagine it's depending on how many items you get and how much time it takes to auction them off. They really get going. It takes a little longer to sell something than it does to just, we're trying. Okay, here we go.
Well, the live auction portion usually is about a half hour, maybe 45 minutes. But the other silent auction items are all nights. So usually on average, the night will last about 3 to 3.5 hours.
So it's a full evening for you.
Yes.
Friday night, thing to do, and help a good cause. Now, how much did the Bash raise last year? Is this a real money maker, the way it works?
It is. I think we're somewhere north of 15,000. I don't remember the exact number, but every year it seems to be growing, and we're hoping this year to push it up closer to 20,000. So.
Because you've also got the ticket prices, plus the bidding, and the silent auction bidding and such. Exactly.
The ticket prices really help to go cover our costs as far as the food, the rent in the Franklin, the drinks, so that the other stuff is really the profit that we can put in towards our operations.
And how do people donate items for this? Is that still open if somebody has something? Is this something that you kind of take right up to the end because anything you get ends up going into the coffers?
Yeah, we'll take donations anytime, even up to the end. The only issue is that sometimes it doesn't quite make the list, but certainly we would get it publicized that evening for everybody there. But yeah, anybody who wants to donate is welcome to certainly give any trustee a call, or we can arrange it at no problems. Try to make it as easy as possible.
And do you have a criteria for what you can donate? Does it need to be new and have intrinsic value? I mean, you know what I mean? You don't want somebody cleaning out the garage.
Right, I don't think we have
It sounds like you have really nice things here to bid on, and you're looking for that type of quality of things to be donated.
Correct. Our trustees have done a really good job of going out to their contacts and business owners in the community and just individual people, you know, like the ones that donated the quilt, to get these types of items that we feel like people would be willing to bid on, one, because they like them, and two, because it's a good cause.
Getting back to the foundation, who participates in the foundation? I mean, do you have different types of funds through there that go for different things? It sounds like it could be pretty diverse.
It's very diverse. It's kind of broken into two different sections, one more on the scholarship side, and then also one that's more of a field of interest funds where we can issue grants out of there. So we have about 65 funds total right now in the foundation, and that continues to grow each year as more and more people start up new funds.
So you could have a specific fund for somebody in memory of somebody for a scholarship, or you could have one that's basically to try to boost outdoor activities or parks in the area, that type of thing. It could go anywhere that the person setting up the foundation trust wants.
That's exactly right.
Is that static, or can it change over the years? Sometimes circumstances change, funding changes. I'm sure from when you started, the interest rates have gone down quite a bit for everybody. So what they could afford to do at the beginning might not be available right now because you're just not earning that much. Because I'm sure you have to put it into funds that are relatively safe.
Right.
There's rules and regulations to that. You can't go speculating and wind up with nothing.
Right, and we have an operations committee that works very closely with our financial advisor to make sure those funds are appropriately portioned to make sure that we're responsible with the money. Our current balance is a little bit over $3.2 million, so we've done a really good job of building that up through donations and the interest made over the last several years to build up that fund, and we'd like to see it obviously go even higher.
Do people have to approach you if they want to set up a... There's no recruiting in this. Is it basically they have to seek you out if they want to set up an account where they can do a specific purpose?
I would say yes and no to that. I mean, they obviously can seek us out, but our executive director, Carl Krause, and some other committee members, board of trustee members, do sometimes go out and look for other foundations that may be interested in joining up with us potentially, or other sources of revenue that might fit into our structure as a community foundation.
And basically, as I understand it, the only thing that you tap out of the account each year is the interest drawn on it. That's why I mentioned the interest rate being down. So the base fund is always still there.
That's exactly right. And that's our slogan is For Good Forever. And the concept behind that is the money that's put in the corpus never is taken out. So we're just spending the interest, so that principal always remains and continues to build as time goes on and interest rates grow.
And people then can continue to contribute to their own fund if they wish to make the balance higher, maybe to do more with the purpose it's set up for?
That's correct.
Is this a forever type of thing? I mean, if somebody sets up a fund and the family is just gone and doesn't want to do this anymore, is this something that you keep doing through the years, or does the family just kind of wash it out?
You have several options with that. Some families or donors are very actively involved in their fund, and other ones are relatively uninvolved. So it really depends on that individual donor's level of interest and how much they want to be involved.
And I would imagine that's where the administrative costs come in. The more actively you folks have to be involved in it, as far as making decisions and all of the rest of that, the more it costs. Nothing's cheap today.
That's exactly right.
How long has the foundation been around?
It was established in 1994 with that gift, like I said, from Martha Thummel that kind of got it going, and then through the Kellogg Foundation.
You're coming up on 20 years here.
Exactly right.
Doing anything special for 20 years?
We've talked about it, but nothing's officially on paper yet.
Or are you waiting for the big 2-5?
Well, maybe it depends how big the Bitters Bash is. We'll see, right?
There you go. And is this something that many counties have nowadays, or is this something that is kind of unique?
No, every community county does have a foundation. Everybody's motto is a little different as far as what they're trying to achieve. But for the most part, it basically runs how we have ours established as well.
Okay. We kind of talked about this before the show. You told us you're homeless. You don't incur the costs of having an office. You rent and heat, utilities, lights, and all of this. The generosity of the EDC, you have space in there that they allow you to work. This also helps keep the costs down for having the service to the community.
That's exactly right. We have a desk in their office that we get to utilize, and one of their staff members that is on our payroll part-time. And then our executive director, Carl Krause, does a lot of things out of his home. So we really are very fortunate that we don't have those operational costs for a building or office rent, that kind of stuff.
Because the 15 grand you raise at the Bash, I don't think that would cover the office and the utilities,
no.
let alone all the other things that need to be done through the course of a year. But these are things that you do in a smaller community. You know, maybe big old Oakland or Wayne County can afford to have a room and a building and whatever. But when you keep it small like this, the effort still continues to go to what the people want their money to do and not becoming this big conglomerate. Preaching?
No, that's right. You're exactly right.
Or am I just preaching to the choir? They gave me kind of a list of some of the things that people might be... There's a fund for the Point Albarks Lighthouse. I mean, they're doing renovations there. If you're interested, do you have to be the one who set it up, or can anyone contribute?
Anyone can contribute to any fund. But
is there a listing of them, say, on a website somewhere, where people can get an idea of what they can go to? If they have... they're setting up a will or something, and they wanted to, you know, have some funds, you know, going to a certain thing when the time comes.
Yep. Yep.
Hopefully not tomorrow, but when the time comes, they can set this all up in advance.
Yeah, there is a website. It's actually a very nice website. It's HuronCountyCommunityFoundation.org, and anybody obviously can go to there and see our funds and see the different scholarships out there. We're actually utilizing it this year for the high school students to fill out their scholarship applications. So. There's a lot of information on that site if somebody wants to go and learn more about the foundation.
Terrific. Like I say, you have the Lighthouse Fund there. If people are interested in lighthouses and preserving them, that's one way to help, and it stays local because it's right here in the county. You're not giving it to a big organization that's going to try to save one in Nantucket or something. It's right here in our community, and it'll be here for generations to come, hopefully. But you also have, the Kiwanis Club. They did a scholarship. Rather than every year hoping they raise enough, they developed this that it's perpetually, it's there. And just a smart move to make.
It is, and if you ever attend, or if your kids have had to go to the high school award ceremonies in the spring, you'll see a lot of the scholarships that are awarded are actually, you know, housed inside the foundation. So I think it's really worked well for a lot of those groups to set up their scholarship and just kind of run it through us and let us administer it, and they just hand out the funds when the time comes in the spring. So it's worked out well for both parties.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned, we were talking before the program, that some of them are kind of general in nature, and you folks, or the people who have set them up, award the scholarships to different groups that meet that criteria, and utilizing your website could tell you if there's an account there that might fit your organization or the plans you have to maybe get a little additional funding. Probably not a lot, but, every little bit helps when you're trying to piece together something or trying to meet a grant.
You're exactly right, and it's actually called our grant-making process, and we have a committee that solicits the grant requests usually in May or June, and then in August we meet, we go through all of the grant requests and see where they fit into our funds. We have what we call field of interest funds, where some of them, you know, need to be maybe in healthcare or parks and rec, or they have different requirements, and then some are just general funds that can be used for anything that the committee feels is a worthy grant-making opportunity. So I think last year we gave about $8,000 in grants through those funds. So not a huge amount, but yet in our local community, we feel like that's a great contribution.
Yeah, we would certainly encourage anybody who has any particular instance to interest in this to certainly seek our website and apply for something that might be of interest to them.
It's not going to fund your whole program, but like scholarships like you're talking about, parents just love to have just a little bit of help now.
Yes.
as they're doing all of this. And it works the same for most organizations. Sometimes it's just that little boost that gets you over the hump.
Exactly right.
If people are interested in helping the foundation, are you looking for volunteers? Are you looking for people to join? Is this like a, do you sign up and have dues? Or is it just basically the board?
There's a board, but there's also several committees, grant making, marketing. There's some other committees that you don't have to be on the board of directors to be involved with. So if somebody out there is listening and is interested in being on some sort of committee or helping, certainly contact either Amy Braun at the EDC or Carl Krause, and they can kind of point you in the right direction and get the ball rolling.
And I would assume if you're on one of these committees or something, that exempts you from getting any funds. So if you're thinking that route, don't go there. Because there's rules and regulations to all of this, and it has to all come out clean in the wash. And that's what the audits and everything else is about, and taxes and all of that information, I imagine you have to have available as well.
We do.
So again, you've got the Bidders Bash coming up again. When this weekend? Friday?
Friday, yep. Starts at 6 o'clock at the Franklin Inn.
But you need to call and get a ticket in advance, because you need to know how many are showing up, because if you don't have the ticket, then you end up in the other part of the building and it doesn't have all the fun.
Yeah, we will try to accommodate everyone who shows up at the door, so we won't turn anybody away.
But it is a good idea to let people know you're coming and get some idea of what you, like you say, you need to bring your checkbook and other things along if you...
Right, certainly.
Because it's the day of the sale type of auction.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you taking time coming out today and letting us know. It starts at 6, runs till about 9:30, they told me, based upon how long the auctioning and the silent auctions go. Plenty of items there. Are the items listed on the website, or is that something else they can check out there?
Yep, they're listed on the website. So if they have an interest, certainly go to that website that we mentioned earlier.
Great. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Craig.
Our guests today on the program have been Brent Wehner and Dr. Nancy Macchiarella. Did I get it right? They're board members, some of the trustees, two of the 12 on the Huron County Community Foundation Board. They have their Bidders Bash live and silent auction Friday night. Franklin Inn starts at 6. They'd be a big help if you let them know they're coming and buy a ticket, but they're not so snooty they won't turn you away at the door. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.